Well, you know, of all the career options, this woman decided to sell herself because it seemed like a great business decision.
Yes. You know, the AOG came out with a study on human trafficking 2 years ago and said in the state of Ohio, 95% of women prostitutes are pimp controlled. Essentially, they are not in control of themselves. That is human trafficking. We find that that is largely a misnomer. That's not what's happening.
You know what we about to do? We about to get real. We about to have conversations that Christians have behind closed doors, the scary, raw ones, the ones that make you feel uncomfortable. That's where we going. Why? Because we're family. Ustedes son mi familia.
And so this is the Brian and Janelle podcast. She's Janelle and I'm Brian. And if you don't want to miss anything, all you got to do is just hit subscribe and get that notification whenever we drop a new episode. The Brian and Janelle podcast. Alicia Lay is director of safe housing at Rahab Ministries. Thanks for coming in, Alicia.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Alicia, Rahab Ministries, for those who aren't familiar, give us kind of like the elevator speech / cliff notes of what Rahab is all about.
Yeah, so we started in the city of Akron 16 years ago by our founder, Becky Moreland, who just started walking the street to build relationships and share love with who at the time she said were the prostitutes. And over the years, what we found out is that that is largely a misnomer, the women on the streets who are just selling themselves. This is actually a long exploitation of women that's happened since the beginning of time, and that these aren't prostitutes, these are prostituted women. These are actually victims of human trafficking. And so that's what we do. We work with Restore Court in Summit County, mentoring juvenile victims. We have a drop-in house, and then we also have two safe houses.
Well, you know, people sometimes say, oh, that's just semantics. But I think it was R.C. Sproul one time said, yeah, it is semantics and they matter. And when you talk about the difference between a prostitute and someone who's prostituted, that's a world of difference.
Absolutely.
Because I think the old way of discussing this was more of a, well, you know, of all the career options, this woman decided to sell herself because it seemed like a great business decision.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, do you ever run into someone that's like that? I mean, I suppose occasionally.
Very rarely. You know, the AOG came out with a study on human trafficking 2 years ago and said in the state of Ohio, 95% of women prostitutes are pimp controlled. Essentially, they are not in control of themselves. That is human trafficking.
Yeah.
So we find that that is largely a misnomer. That's not what's happening.
And so for those who are living, like me, a protected Christian life, when you say that they are people who are controlled by their pimp, mm-hmm. what does that mean? Like, they just go, you know, I'm sick of this. I want to leave. And they go, okay, see you later.
Right, exactly.
You laugh, but I mean, people would just go, why don't you just stop?
Yeah, we get that all the time. Like, well, how did they get out? And I think that's largely has to do with this misidentification of what human trafficking is. If we think of human trafficking as the girl who's like in the cage or chained to the basement or handcuffed to the bed, we're going to miss it. That's not largely what it looks like. And so they're out there, they're walking the streets. They're, you know, I always say, it's largely a state of mind. Captivity is largely a state of mind and less a physical reality.
Yeah.
So what keeps them bound?
Yeah, lots of things. Fear. The fact that they're in fraudulent relationships. Many of our women, you know, we had a woman, we work a lot with FBI, Homeland Security, the task forces around the state. One of our women were taken out of a hotel room. And she really thought that this was her boyfriend. And we see that all the time. Mm-hmm. They all have the boyfriend. And she thought that they were just doing this to survive. What she didn't know that the boyfriend, the trafficker, was running 11 other women in that very hotel room. She was 18 at the time. She was the oldest of them.
Oh, my goodness.
The oldest of them?
The oldest of them.
And this is here in Northeast Ohio?
Absolutely, yeah. Cleveland, places of Cleveland, all your listeners have been driven by.
Because see, that's overwhelming. You always think that it's someone else's issue.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this must be a New York City problem because there's all those problems there. This is Akron.
Yeah.
This is Canton.
And you're saying motels full of these girls.
hotels, houses.
Yeah.
That we drive by all the
goodness
time.
Goodness sakes. And you know what? I'm not a guy. It takes a lot to move me because I'm so cynical. I got to be honest. Like if I watch a movie, I'm like, well, that was touching. You know, I'm not going to be there like sobbing or something.
Yeah.
But this is one of those that tugs at my heartstrings. And then Janelle and I are at the Remind conference and one of your colleagues comes up and says, I want to introduce you to some people here from Rahab Ministries. And here's my naive mind, Christian bubble. I'm like, oh, great. A bunch of employees have gotten together to get, you know, come over here. And I'm like,
listen to some Robbie.
Right.
Yeah.
let's go as a group, as an outing. And it took me a minute to realize, no, I was being introduced to some women who have been set free from trafficking right in front of me. And again, this is that naivete. Couldn't have picked them out of the crowd.
And one of them, you said.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a couple of them, but the one that there's a couple. And one of the stories I want you to share, but the one that really got me as well was a young woman. I said, well, what are you going to do when you graduate out of the program? She goes, I don't know. I just got here 11 days ago. And then my mind goes, Lord Jesus, come now. This woman who's so sweet, great question. I wouldn't have known her from anyone else, was captive in the sex trade 11 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's overwhelming. I mean, we pick women up that it's like a few hours ago, they were being sold for sex. And here they are with... Like, I'm driving with them in the car.
Do you feel that still, that level of, like, I don't know if I want to cry or punch somebody or...
Absolutely. You know, one of our women who was there her first day, this is a brilliant picture of something that I keep in mind, and I hope it stays with me forever. She's in the driveway. We have a really long driveway in the woods, and it's super hot, as it's been, and... She's just crying like, I want to go home. I want to go home. And the reality is she has no home. She has nowhere safe to be. She has no family to love her. And I asked if I could approach her. And she just melted into my arms. She's like a snotty, sweaty mess. And that's the picture that I keep with me every day, that yearning for our home, the one day that when Jesus will come back, that there will be no more pain, suffering, trafficking.
Well, and then you almost feel compelled to, as a Christian, it's like Jesus would hug this woman and Jesus would rescue her. And yet I get mad and embarrassed that I live in a world that experiences so much affluence that I can live my everyday life and not even know this is happening. Mm. You know, it's so comfortable. I can just sit here with my little almond milk smoothie.
And not know that it's happening like right up the
right
street.
Right now.
So what gets you to these women? Because it sounds like it's not like they're out there saying, come get me, come rescue me.
So, no. Yeah. So what one thing is that Rahab Ministries walks the street every week. We go into strip clubs. We have a drop-in house in Summit County right in the middle of the most trafficked walked area. And so most of our referrals to the Safe House actually come from our own internal relationships. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time for these women to say, like, I want out of this life. And they probably have never even heard of the term of sex trafficking.
Yeah.
You know, they know what they're experiencing is horrific and painful, and it's no way to live a life. And so that's where our number one referrals. We also work with healthcare. We do a lot of training there, obviously task forces around the state. Mm.
But you know, I got to be honest, being a part of the Remind Conference, knowing that these beautiful women are in the audience, it changed me in some respects because it reminded me how important it is for us as Christians to talk properly about redemption when it comes to sexual activity. Yes. Because we so quick in our culture and for so many years when talking about purity, we're shaming people.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I remember there was a question that was texted in to the team from Robbie Zacharias that was essentially like, you know, what do we do with those people who are sexually, you know, immoral? I know. And I'm like, I'm up there steaming because I'm like, don't you know you're asking this insensitive question, those people.
Right.
They're right here.
Yeah.
And the beautiful response of redemption is there. But we've got to be proper in how we discuss redemption in
light
of this, right?
It's the famous Matt Chandler example about the rose that's passed around the junior high room, you know, illustrating all the woman who has sex with everyone and the guy up front is like, who wants this rose? It's all raggedy and stuff. And Matt Chandler is like, Jesus wants the rose. That's the whole point of the gospel.
Yeah,
Jesus does.
Yeah.
He'd raise his hand and say, I want that.
Absolutely.
And we are so quick to teach this so poorly and ignorantly that women that are beautiful in God's eyes and saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus could walk in anywhere to a Christian small group or something and feel totally shamed.
Yeah.
when we are no different than them. And it should rock our world, and it should change how we view discussing these kind of issues. Mm. Because if you think every time you discuss purity, assume someone in that room was caught in trafficking. Mm. Because that person didn't make this choice. This wasn't a choice.
Right.
How horrible ought we to feel if we improperly handle this?
Yeah.
We try to really hard to make a community here on this radio show. It's not just Ron and Janelle and Kelly and me. We try to make it about everybody, that we have calls come in, we all minister to each other. And, you know, we naively think what's happening is that, you know, Jenny Johnson's out there and she's in Berlin and she's making her breakfast. And that's basically who our listener is. And Alicia's here for a lot of reasons, but one of them is to share a story here about the difference, friend, you are making through this radio ministry in the lives of women caught in trafficking. Because I had somebody come up to me in the midst of the Remind Conference and tell me a story that I just about totally melted.
Yeah.
So can you tell us what's going on with that particular testimony?
Absolutely. And first I want to say that our women at the Safe House are always listening to Moody Radio. We have a million and one appointments. We're driving everywhere. It's always on. It's encouraging. The sermons, the songs, this morning show is just a place we love. And so we say thank you for that. One particular resident had just a crazy story of, in the midst of her trafficking in a city very nearby, she was in a home at gunpoint, stuck in a room. There were multiple women being run in this house, but she had a room. There was nothing but a bed and a radio. And she would listen to 103.3 WCRF. And she would always say, like, when the happy clappy music came on, I turned it off. I couldn't listen to it. But the sermons was something that she always had on, up to the point that some sex buyers would come into the room with the sermons on the radio and engage sexually with her while it was still on. Now, she said some men would be like, that's creepy, turn it off. Right, as they're like committing their sin, they don't want to hear the sermons. She had gotten to a point where one day one of the buyers had gone out to use with the guys and left his gun. I don't know if she explained this to you.
No, she didn't.
And she was at the end of herself to the point that she was getting ready to kill herself. And it was actually this morning show that was on. In particular, it was Kathleen at the time, and her voice, God used her voice specifically as this woman is getting ready to be like, I'm over it. Oh. And the part of her voice was the joy. And she said, if someone could experience that joy, I think I could too. And she didn't kill herself that morning. The next day, when another woman was using the room, she'd get locked in the closet, like in the room, being locked in the closet. And she found an old cell phone that had no service in there, but she knew that she could call 911, even though there was no minutes. The very next day, she called 911 and got out and came to our safe house. So she's an amazing woman. It's an amazing story of redemption that this radio show had a huge impact in her healing, her hope, her life.
And may to God be all the glory for that. Because, you know, we don't show up here thinking that's happening. You know, we play a song and we're like, well, that was scheduled. But God just used it in some way.
Absolutely.
And friend, when you support this ministry and when you're just even a part of it prayerfully and listening to it every morning, you didn't even know that was happening.
Right.
Woman held captive at gunpoint in sex trafficking. Her life was literally rescued because of what you're a part of here. And I can't do anything but just say to God be all the glory for that. And I'm just so grateful that not only you all would share that story with us, but just that we'd have a chance to know more about it. Because I got to tell you, this is that moment too where, you know, like I feel more pressure. You know, when you know like your wife or your mom or something is listening or your best friend, you feel pressure. But now it's like the Lord has blessed us with this privilege, Ron and Janelle, to talk to someone held captive right now.
Yeah. And when you say, I can understand feeling the pressure, but it also humbles you
because in spite of not knowing how God used you and Kathleen in such a powerful way. So it just shows us it ain't you. It's not me. It's not Ron. And it just humbles you to know, like, wow, it's God working through this ministry. So that's just awesome. And it's humbling.
And knowing that there are probably a bunch of women huddled around a radio right now because they know you're here, you know, you are beautiful.
Yeah.
And you are redeemed. And we are just like you. We are broken. And
yes,
we've experienced
absolutely.
the saving power of Jesus Christ. And we are so glad you're part of this listening family. And may you know that we love you and we know you're with us and we're so glad you are. And trust me, we're a mess.
The joy that connects with them, you know, because I'm sure Kathleen would testify to this and we all do here. We try to share our brokenness, you know, and how the joy is in Jesus and how you can feel the joy in spite of, we all have different messes, but in spite of the mess, because, you know, it's joy in Jesus. So
that's what bonds us together.
Yeah.
And the pressure, not only for all of us.
Yes.
Not everyone we see is in physical captivity, but the spiritual captivity that we come in contact with every day at the store, at our works, everywhere.
And people who need to hear, you are forgiven.
Yeah.
And to you in your car at home who are touched by that story, and to you who are in Rahab ministry sitting there, you're forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? If God can forgive me, Lord knows he can forgive you. So we're so grateful for this. And Alicia Lay, Director of Safe Housing at Rahab Ministries, feels like you've done radio before or something. You're pretty good at this.
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
This is my first time.
Really?
Yeah.
What? You're great.
You should come back. And if somebody wants to support Rahab Ministries financially or get involved somehow, how can they learn more about what y'all are doing?
Yeah, on our website, rahab-ministries.org, tells all about our ministry and all what we're doing over Northeast Ohio.
Hey, hold up. Where are you going? You know you liked your time with us. You want more. So look down, hit that button right there, subscribe, and you'll get updated episodes, and then you can hang some more.
And guess what? You can help us. How? A 5-star rating.
Guess what? You can also hang with us live weekday 6 to 9 a.m. Interact with us, talk with us. Download the Moody Radio app.
Or at brianandjanelle.org.
And we don't put all this together all by ourselves. There's some great people behind all this production. We want to thank Ron Eastwood, Kelly Ryder, Paul Carter, Doug Hainer, and our awesome and fearless leader, Josue Villa.
And finally, this podcast is a production of Moody Radio in Cleveland, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
Well, Brian, that's a wrap.
Yep.